You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, Wisconsin Democrats had a sit-in this week for gun legislation in Washington, and a recent study looked at the effects of Act 10 on education. That's all ahead in our Wisconsin News Roundup. First, how often do you stand in front of your kitchen shelf and wonder how on earth you can come up with a meal out of the odds and ends sitting in your cupboards? A new book, The Kitchen Shelf, tackles that problem with an array of recipes and tips to conjure up extraordinary meals using ordinary ingredients that you may already have on hand. We have with us right now Rosie Reynolds and Eve O'Sullivan. They co-wrote The Kitchen Shelf, and they join us from London. Rosie and Eve, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
Rosie, let's start with you. Where did this idea come from to kind of drastically streamline everything and still have a delicious meal at the end of the day?
Well, Eve and I both work in the food business. So I am a food stylist and a food writer, and Eve is a food writer and food editor working in cookery books. We've tested and eaten our way through thousands of recipes, Veronica. And we were like, at the end of the day when you get home, everybody else, we open our cupboard and we're like, what have we got? Peanut butter. Let's eat the peanut butter off the spoon or peanut butter on toast. And, you know, we were like, actually, let's look at our cupboard and think about what we can make from sort of seemingly nothing rather than what we can't make. So, you know, forget about the toast and let's make like a really amazing satay sauce for chicken, or, you know, a lovely coating for aubergines, eggplant, sorry, that we can grill and, you know, have a really quick and easy but simple and stylish meal that is, you know, from seemingly nothing off the kitchen shelf. And that's really how we came about it, because this is how we cook, you know. We love simple, easy food that uses ingredients that are really easy to get hold of.
And Eve, the formula, it does sound pretty simple. You've got 10 basic items that you say you've got to have on hand, and then along with some pantry items, and then one or two fresh ingredients from the store. So you don't have those odds and ends of half-used bottles or even bottles with a couple tablespoons missing from them that just gather dust. Can you walk us through those 10 items, the core of your cooking idea here?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to say that when Rosie and I were coming up with the book, it definitely wasn't based, I mean, it was based on what we both have in our cupboard and what we like to cook and eat every day. But we asked everyone from, you know, friends who are busy parents to, you know, young professionals to people who just aren't that interested in cooking. And what we found was that there were 10 core ingredients that most people either seem to buy in bulk and so they always have them in, or it's just kind of their standby that they know they can whip something up, but it might just be the same old routine thing. So we have a tin of chickpeas, garbanzo beans, I think you guys call them sometimes, a bag of flour, a bag of pasta, a bag of rice, a jar of peanut butter, as Rosie's already mentioned, a tin of coconut milk, a box of eggs. I think most people have some eggs in. And then a bottle of milk and a bar of chocolate. And I think that's it, Rosie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all. That's the tin.
But, yeah, so I think, and if you have those core ingredients in, all of them are so versatile and they're such good value. So, yeah, you can, you know, like Rosie was saying, you look in your cupboard, it's about seeing what is there as opposed to what's not there. You know, so a tin of coconut milk, it can be a dessert, it can be a kind of a show-off main meal, you know, for the two of you, or it can be something that will make a stew that will, you know, feed a crowd. So we just tried to go for ingredients that were super versatile and also readily available in most stores.
I have to say, at first I thought it sounded too good to be true, because these are only 10 items and I have most of these items most of the time. But you look at the recipes and yes, there are some gorgeous, gorgeous recipes in there that you can get to with these 10 staples. But then you also want people to have a bit of a pantry built up to go along with that, some spices. What do we need to go alongside these core items?
So we have used the spices that we tend to most. So we've got cumin seeds and mustard seeds, turmeric, cinnamon, oregano, thyme, and a jar of mustard, as well as like olive oil and onions and soy. It's a really streamlined spice rack, but what we found is that if you're really clever with your flavors and your spices, you can go to so many different places with the same repertoire of spices. So you can use, you know, cinnamon and chili and cumin, and you can really sort of have food that tastes like very Middle Eastern inspired, or you can go heavy on the smoked paprika, just, you know, a bit of chili, and you've got a really heavily Spanish-inspired meal, or, you know, you can go down the route of Indian spices, you know, like turmeric, mustard seeds. It's just so versatile. We've used spices that you can take all around the world, basically, and change up the flavours in just different combinations. And, you know, that's really what it's all about for Eve and I, is that we like to build flavour. And we think that we've achieved it with just quite a compact little spice rack.
Do you find...
Yeah, and I think most people do have those things in their cupboard. And as Rosie was saying, it's really fascinating how you just change the ratios of certain spices, and you can, you know, your meals can taste completely different. And that's the core of the book, really. And for us, that's the exciting thing about it, is getting to know your ingredients. And as Rosie was saying, it's kind of investing in flavour and learning how just a handful of things, what handful of ingredients work, so you can really make, you know, delicious tasting meals out of not too much.
Do you find you save money this way too, because you're not buying as many sort of odds and ends for particular recipes?
I think it really cuts down, like, personally, and because, you know, as we were saying, like, we both do cook this way. And when I do genuinely quite often cook, you know, recipes from the books. Obviously, Rosie and I wrote half each, and so a lot of Rosie's recipes, I think, oh, wow, that's a really great idea. And there's something really refreshing and confidence building, actually, about thinking you only ever have to buy two things from the store. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know whether you do it, but I definitely do it sometimes, even though I work in food. You know, you're a bit hungry and you're tired, and you go and you buy about six different things, and you think, well, I still can't make a meal because none of this works together. And this book really eliminates that, I think. You know, it's kind of, it takes the worry out of, oh my god, what am I going to buy, what am I going to make. You can just say, you know, like a lot of my friends who are new parents, for example, they're just going back to work after, you know, having a baby and things like that. They say, I know I can just manage to get two things on the way home. That is definitely achievable, and this is a great book for that reason. So, yeah, I think it probably does save a bit of money in the end, hopefully, and a bit of time.
Yeah, and also, really, it's really great because, you know, in terms of food waste, you know, all of the recipes are kind of, you know, you're going back to the same reserve of food off your kitchen shelf, your same spice rack, and we've written the book as well, so that if you are cooking for one or two and you've got leftovers, you can pack it up so easily for packed lunch, you know, the next day, which Eve and I absolutely love. We, you know, we are two busy working people, so anything that saves you a bit of time here and there and a bit of cash, you know, it's amazing. That's how we like to live.
And you shared a couple of recipes with us here. You shared one for zucchini and basil muffins, and chicken thighs and green beans in spiced tomato sauce. We'll get to those in just a moment as we talk with Eve O'Sullivan and Rosie Reynolds. They're the author of the new book, The Kitchen Shelf. Take a few pantry essentials, add two ingredients from the store, and make everyday eating extraordinary. Now let's talk about this chicken thighs recipe. Can you walk us through that one, Eve?
Yeah, sure. So the chicken thigh recipe is kind of, it is quite Middle East inspired. So the idea is that you fry off some chicken thighs, and then they cook in a tomato sauce with some green beans, and there's a hit of cinnamon there, which I'm led to believe is probably less common using cinnamon in savory dishes in the States. But it's definitely, you know, it really adds a kind of richness to a dish. And for me, it's one of those things that it's kind of impressive enough to have and people come round, but it's also, you know, it would be just as easy to make it for one person. And if you make the beans with the tomato sauce, that's also something that would be really delicious with rice or you know, like a couple of different vegetable dishes. It's one of the most versatile things in the book, I would say. And also, you know, you can vary the veg a little bit, I think. Do you agree, Rosie, that you could, you know, you could probably use, if you don't have green beans, you could try, you know, whatever's in season, whatever you're growing in your garden. You know, it's a lovely recipe. It's a great sort of quick dinner recipe.
And so for the chicken thighs and green beans, are those the two items that you would buy at your grocery store, and then everything else presumably you would have on hand?
Yeah, so you would buy the chicken thighs and the string beans or runner beans or whatever beans you've got to hand, French beans, flat beans, round beans. You know, you could throw anything in there. If you've got something grown in your garden, you wanted a bit of greenery, you could throw it in. So you would just buy the two things at the store and everything else in the recipe you would have on your kitchen shelf. So, you know, it's that easy. And so if you have got, you know, an abundance of other things. And what even I really wanted to do with these recipes is, that we sort of write in the introduction is, you know, try our recipe the first time, follow it to the letter, and you'll be really happy, we think, with what you with the result. And then after that, make it your own. So, you know, if you have got a glut of French beans over runner beans, or you've got a glut of garden peas or zucchini, use the recipe and just swap in like-for-like ingredients. So rather than using the runner beans, use zucchini. You know, if you've got a pork chop in the fridge that you really want to use up, but you don't, you know, and you're like, oh, God, but I really fancy that chicken thigh and green beans and tomato sauce, follow the recipe, but instead use your pork chop and it'll work perfectly and you'll have a really nice meal. And as you said before, you know, it's a confidence builder. You get a meal that at the end of it, you're like, oh, my God, I made this and it tastes really good. But, you know, you've made it your own, so it's just great.
We've got that recipe for chicken thighs and green beans in spiced tomato sauce up right now on the Central Time Facebook page. And we're talking with food stylist, recipe writer, and developer Rosie Reynolds, and also with Ivo Sullivan, a food writer, cookbook author, food stylist, and she's based in London. And they're the co-authors of the new book, The Kitchen Shelf, which shares ways to make everyday eating easy and delicious. Well, we'd love to hear from you on this. Do you have a great idea for making a special meal out of ordinary pantry staples? Have you found a way to be efficient about this and streamlined? And what do you consider to be the most essential kitchen staples? Do you agree with their 10 items? Things like coconut milk and rice and flour and chickpeas, peanut butters, pasta, tomato, eggs, and chocolate. That is it. That's what they have. What do you have in your core group of kitchen essentials? Well, we'll pick up this conversation in just a bit. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You're listening to Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and it's Food Friday, and we're getting ideas for how to make easy meals from just a handful of core staples from the kitchen, some pantry items and spices, soy sauce, things like that, and then a couple things from the grocery store. And we'd love to hear from you. Do you have some very basic dishes that you turn to when you only have a few ingredients on hand? You want to keep it simple. You want to use what's in your pantry. And maybe one or two things from your refrigerator. What do you cook? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Rosie Reynolds and Ivo Sullivan stay with us now. Together, they wrote the book, The Kitchen Shelf. And Rosie, you have an entire chapter devoted to chocolate. Why is chocolate one of your staples?
Oh, because I've always got it in the cupboard. You always got it. I've always got chocolate in the cupboard. I'm so excited, Veronica, to hear what your callers say about what they make and what their go-to meals are. This is like my guilty pleasure. Like, what do you make? What do you eat when you've got nothing else in the cupboard but you've got a few things and you're like, I'm starving hungry and I need to eat something. I'm so excited to hear it.
Yeah, I hope they call too.
Well, chocolate, I mean, we always have chocolate. And, you know, when we were thinking about the book and when we were putting the recipes together, like, you know what, actually, chocolate is so important. It makes everybody happy. Everybody, well, we think nearly everybody loves chocolate. And the majority like chocolate. And, you know, like, at the beginning of the chapters, we've got, like, a three-way thing. So you have the bar of chocolate and you add, and then you have, like, a sort of master recipe. So we've made a really nice chocolate ganache. And then we've made it into a chocolate tart, and you only need to buy the pastry. And then you'd buy a pastry shell. You make your chocolate ganache with just chocolate and cream, and you pour that into the shell. That's one recipe. Mm. And then we've got chocolate and hazelnut truffle, so you've got the ganache, and then you roll it in chopped roasted hazelnuts. So you've got like a really fancy gift, or you know, after dinner petit four. And then you've got a rosemary and chocolate pot, which is a really sophisticated little dessert that you could serve with a shortbread or something like that. And, you know, all three of them are just so super easy to whip off. I mean, they probably take 10 minutes to make, and you've got three really good show-off desserts. We've got a chili with some chocolate, which just, you know, it's just a really perfect counterbalance to the really deep, savoury flavours. It just enriches the flavour, makes it so much more intense with that little hit of chocolate, and also that really lovely sweet, salty, savoury edge, which is so nice. Yeah, and even I just absolutely love chocolate, so we couldn't talk to that.
I have to say, one of my favourite recipes in the book is definitely the chocolate and peanut butter brownie, and it works with any, like, whether you like white chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate. It's always such a winner, and just everyone loves it. That's a really good recipe involving chocolate in the book that people should really try. That's kind of the perfect, oh my god, I've got to bake something for the office because it's, you know, so-and-so's birthday tomorrow or whatever.
Hold on a minute, there is the flourless chocolate and almond cake. That's a really good one as well.
Delicious. Yeah, I made that for my husband's birthday actually this year, and in fact my nephew helped me make it, and it turned out really well, and considering a four-year-old was involved, I think that was quite impressive.
What kind of chocolate do you recommend? Can it be any kind?
Well, we use the bittersweet dark chocolate, but you know what? You can use, so that was what we recommended, but you can use whatever you want. If you really, really like a really super bitter dark chocolate, then go for that. Or if you just like it, you know, a semi-sweet, or if you like a milk chocolate, you know, or if you like a mix even, you know, the recipe will still work if you use a mix of all of the chocolates together. But for something like, say, the you know, the flourless chocolate cake, chocolate and almond cake, because you want it to kind of be a little bit more grown up, it might be the kind of thing that you serve with an espresso. It might be nice if you mirror the, you know, the rich dark chocolate and use the full-on sort of bittersweet dark chocolate. But, you know, like the chocolate cups with the rosemary and chocolate cups would work really well with a really delicious sort of milky, creamy, sweet chocolate.
That sounds great. Well, we have a couple callers to talk to you right now. We've got Austin first on the line in Grand Colony. Austin, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What is your go-to recipe?
Well, what we do in a pinch, we can our tomatoes with peppers and onions from our garden. And we always have usually 100 quarts every season or so. But what a real quick meal is just like pasta or egg noodles and ground hamburger. And then with those stewed tomatoes and garlic and a little sugar. And I guess Grandma always called it goulash. Mm-hmm. And have that with like a piece of, you know, lightly toasted crusty bread or something like that. It's super simple and even better the next day.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Oh,
yeah. Austin.
That sounds amazing.
And that had had a whole bunch of your pantry core items there, the tomatoes and the pasta, I think he said as well. I think there was one more. But what does that sound like, something that you guys might be able to whip up from this?
Absolutely. That sounds like our, we did a recipe for a meatball sub, and it actually, you know, it's like a kind of, it sounds like Austin has nailed our meatball sub recipe, but we put it in a sub roll instead of with pasta. But, you know, like the versatility of those kind of really easy pasta sauces using really good quality tomatoes and, you know, ground hamburgers and onions and all of those lovely flavorings and a pinch of sugar. Just, yeah, exactly. Really good, simple food.
I can't think of anything better than homegrown and canned tomatoes. I mean, I want to try Austin's version. That sounds great.
Austin, send us them to England.
Nice. Well, Austin, thanks so much for sharing that. And we're going to go next to Marilyn. Marilyn joins us from Dubuque, Iowa. Marilyn, hi.
Oh, hi. I love this topic. I always love to hear people's go-to meals because we all need that sort of help at different times when we're at the last straw and you've got a hungry family to feed.
Absolutely.
So what is yours, Marilyn?
My go-to meal is a cheese rarebit, like a classic English cheese rarebit. And I make it with a couple tablespoons each of butter and flour to make a roux. And I pour a bottle of beer, and it can be any kind of beer, which will change the flavor. And after that thickens up, you add cheddar cheese. And you can spice it with a little hot sauce or a little bit of Dijon mustard. And the beauty of it is you can let people sort of make their own plates. If you have sliced ham or bacon or hard-boiled eggs, You can put that on top of any kind of a base, like an English muffin or a slice of toast. For people who prefer vegetarian meals, they can go with steamed veggies of any kind or tuna, perhaps. But you essentially can build your own meal with that lovely rarebit sauce over the top, and it can be anything to anybody.
That sounds lovely. And that's a recipe from your neck of the woods, isn't it, Rosie and Eve? Rarebit.
Yeah, Welsh rarebit. Yeah, it really is. And that's like a sort of classic go-to, you know, after-school meal that my mum used to rustle up for us when we were, we really need some dinner now. And you know, like, maybe without the beer, though. But yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. What a great idea, Eve.
Yeah, I know. That's just perfect comfort food, isn't it? That's just total comfort food. And everyone is going to have a smile on their face if you give them that for their dinner.
Yeah, and you could even throw that over some, like, really, you know, if you had some cooked pasta or some really nice, you know, potatoes that you slice up, and you could put the rarebit sauce over it and then flash it under a broiler. It would be so delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Marilyn, thanks a lot for that. And as we get close to the end here, we've got one more recipe we haven't talked about yet. You shared again. This one is up on our website. This is a zucchini and basil muffins. Rosie, can you tell us about those?
Yeah, well, they're just a really simple muffin, and they use zucchini in the mix. So just a normal kind of, you know, muffin mix, flour, a little bit of oil, chili flakes, salt, and then the zucchini in them, and shredded basil. It's a really classic combination. And the zucchini just offers some moisture to the muffin. So these are amazing for, you know, they'd be great with breakfast if you're having some bacon, eggs, but they're also delicious with a tomato soup, or on, you know, split and spread with butter if you were going to eat, like, a really delicious stew or something like that. And the zucchini is just a great way to get some veggies in there. It keeps the moisture up, and it looks great as well because you get these lovely little flecks of green going through them. You know, it's a classic muffin recipe. And also, you know, you could, if you didn't have zucchini or you had, like, one zucchini and something else, you can mix and match. You know, you can really make it your own. You can add in another type of veggie that you have.
And we have to leave it there. Rosie and Eve, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
That was Eve O'Sullivan and Rosie Reynolds. They're both based in London, and they co-authored the book The Kitchen Shelf. You can find those recipes up right now on the Central Time Facebook page.